Third edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin, and this podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsbreaker.com and on our YouTube channel. Please also like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends about the podcast, and check me out at DJPenn.com and MMArings.net. So I'm going to talk about UFC Mexico City today, a few fight announcements, but for the most part, I'll be focusing on the UFC Mexico City card. So overall, a very weird card. I think that's the best way to categorize it. Very strange. Main event obviously ended in an outcome no one wanted. And some of the prelim fights were kind of weird. And even the main card fights, just the judges were kind of weird in this card. Strange card. So anyways, let's get right into it. Main event, Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens, they fight to a no contest just 15 seconds into the first round. The doctor was forced to stop the fight due to an accidental eye poke. Yair Rodriguez raked Jeremy Stephens' eyes, and Stephens could not open his left eye, and the fight had to be stopped. I mean, very disappointing, first off. There's a lot to take away from this, but very, very disappointing, no doubt about it. This was a fight that everyone was looking forward to. This was my pick for fight of the night on this card. It was going to be an amazing fight. Yair Rodriguez is an incredible fighter. Stephens is always in good fights, so this was going to be a great matchup. I feel bad for these guys. They both trained very hard for this fight. Stephens obviously went to Mexico for like 6 weeks, spent a lot of money training at high altitude. Rodriguez, of course, this was a huge card for him in Mexico in front of all his friends and family. And the fight ended in 15 seconds. So that sucks. Hopefully they can book a rematch soon once Stephens' eye heals up. He's saying in a few weeks, maybe. Maybe that Boston card. Some people are speculating that. Seems a little soon for me. I'm thinking maybe the New York card or maybe that December card in Vegas. Those seem more likely to me. But either way, they have to rebook this fight because we were all looking forward to this fight. Nothing happened. We didn't get to see what happened in this fight. And it's very, very reminiscent of the Sergey Karatanov and Matt Mitchell fight from earlier this year, which I believe also ended in 15 seconds due to an accidental eye poke. And then we saw the rematch. Karatanov won by knockout. So I'd like to see a rematch between these guys booked. We just didn't get to see the fight, and it's a fight everyone wanted to see. So Rodriguez has been saying that he believes he should be fighting someone higher in the rankings. Well, unfortunately, man, I think they got to rebook this. And here's the thing. So there's a lot to take away from this. First off, let's talk about Yair Rodriguez. Obviously, he was upset. We saw what happened when Bisping put his arm on him to do the interview, and he reacted very poorly. I didn't really like Yair Rodriguez's reaction to the eye poke. It seemed like he didn't really believe Stephens, although he later clarified the comments saying that he was going to give Stephens the benefit of the doubt. But at least initially, it seemed like he was very upset and angry. And I understand. I get it. It's not easy to train that long and hard and then have your fight taken away. Like, these guys peaked for this fight. They wanted to let loose all their energy, and they weren't able to. So I can understand his frustration. But at the same time, and I think Rodriguez is a great representative for the sport, especially in Latin America. But I just feel like in this particular instance, he did not represent himself very well. I think he'd be the first to say that. I did not like the way he handled himself in the post-fight. But at the same time, like I said, I do understand his frustrations. It's a very, very delicate situation. Again, the guy trained so long, so hard, and for to have it taken away like that must have been terrible. Now, for Stephens, we got to talk about him now. A lot of fans right away, just like the Todd Duffy fight and the Chia Congo fight. But right away, fans were, not every fan, but a lot of fans, a lot of keyboard warriors were like, oh man, this guy's a wimp. He didn't want to fight. He wanted out. I mean, if you said that, like, you should probably start watching the sport right now. Like, this is not the sport for you. Jeremy Stephens is one of the UFC's most durable, toughest, and dangerous fighters ever. He's been in the UFC for 13 years. He's always in good fights. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first no contest he's ever had. It is. So this is not a guy who pulls out of fights. He's not a guy who gets knocked out. He's not a guy who takes damage and then quits. He's not like that at all, you know? This was just a situation where I really believe that he could not open his eye. And it was a very unfortunate situation. I don't think he wanted to get raked in the eyes. But here's the thing. Like, it's weird, right? Like, these guys are getting poked in the eyes. Like, last week, Todd Duffy and this week, Stephens. And, again, the Congo thing. Although the Congo thing, I still think that was a little – that one, I think, of the three in the last 2 weeks, that one was a little weird because – on the replay, it was very hard to see if there really was an eye poke. But at least the Duffy fight last week, I truly believe you could not see. And this fight here, there's no doubt in my mind Jeremy Stephens couldn't see and couldn't open his eyes. So anyone who calls him a wimp and says that he wanted out and wanted to quit, again, I just don't think this is the right sport for you. That's not the way Jeremy Stephens fights. He's not that kind of guy who would quit, especially 15 seconds into a fight. And here's the other thing. These guys don't train hard just to show up for their show money. They want to win the win bonus. They want to win fight of the night. They want to win performance of the night. They want to get that bonus money. They want to get a big win. a big win here for Stevens would have put him right back in the driver's seat for a potential title shot at 145. So the fact he lost, not lost, but had no contest, is it sucks for him, you know? So it's not like he wanted to pull out of this fight. It's not like he wanted to not fight Yair Rodriguez. He wanted the fight. He wanted to win. So anyone who's suggesting that he quit, I just can't believe that, honestly, especially for a guy like Stevens. Like, this guy's always in wars. This is a guy who's been in the UFC since 2007. And he's always in great fights. He always puts up good performances, and he's very, very durable. He's not the kind of guy who quits. So I was just shocked how many people were saying this guy quit. To me, that's just disgusting. It's not like this was like in the third round of the fight, or the second round, or fourth round, or fifth round, something. It was 15 seconds into the fight, and he got raked in the eye and said he couldn't see. And he literally, I don't think, could open his eye. Even the doctor tried to open it. Herb Dean tried to open it. His eye wouldn't open up. So it was just a very unfortunate situation. Now, I got to talk about the fans here. That was gross. The fans throwing garbage and bottles and apparently coins and popcorn and everything into the octagon. That was absolutely disgusting. I mean, listen, this is happens at sporting events. It's not good. It's never good when this happens. I remember this happened in Toronto during the playoffs back in 2015 when Toronto played the Texas Rangers, the Blue Jays, and the pitcher threw a Russell Martin threw a ball back to the pitcher and it hit the bat of Shinsu Choi, and there was a controversy there. It was one of the greatest innings in baseball history, but people don't they will remember the Jose Bautista home run, but they don't remember that Wilson Martin threw the ball off the bat and then the runner was allowed to advance from third to home base and home play, I should say. And fans, I was there. Fans were throwing garbage and crap onto the field, and I was embarrassed. And that happens at every sporting event. So this is not just a Mexican thing. It's not just New Mexican fans. A lot of people were calling Mexican fans dirty and saying they're, you know, just heathens. This happens everywhere. So there's no doubt about that. And it even happened in my city, and I was there for that. And that was embarrassing and terrible. People get emotional and do stuff like that. It's still disgusting, though. So I felt very bad for the fighters and everyone around the octagon. There was a video of Brendan Fitzgerald hiding under the table. I mean, it's funny. Don't get me wrong. It's funny seeing him hide under the table and call the action, but it's dangerous. People are throwing coins. I mean, that's dangerous. So that was terrible. Again, I understand the fans' frustration, and this is not just a Mexican thing. This happens everywhere, in every city around the world at sporting events when the fans don't get what they want, including, again, in my city. I just gave an example of it. But it's still a terrible situation, and you can't just go and say, oh, well, you know, they were upset and they could throw crap in. It was awful. And I would like to see Dana White comment about this. I haven't heard him say anything about this event or the fans or anything. Mexico obviously is going to be a big market for them going forward, but at the same time, this was very, very bad. So I do not like seeing the fans throw the crap into the octagon. Anyways, it was just a disappointing situation. There's no doubt about it. I want to see them run the fight back. I'd like to see that happen soon in the next couple months. But for now, we have a no contest, and it sucks. It sucks for everyone. I just wish the fans didn't throw crap into the octagon. And let's get to the co-main event, where a fan apparently threw a beer at Carlos Barza as she exited the octagon. That is absolutely disgusting and just uncalled for. So that was terrible. This was before the main event happened. People were pissed that Carlos Barza beat Alexa Grasso. So I got to talk about this fight now. So this was a close fight, but there's no doubt in my mind Carlos Barza won this fight. People that scored it for Grasso, I believe, don't understand how to score MMA. Carlos Barza won the first two rounds, and Grasso did win the third round. And if this was under Pride rules, she would have won the fight. But it's not Pride rules. It's the 10-9 must system. And Carlos Barza won the first two rounds 10-9, and Grasso won the third round 10-9. Maybe 10-8, maybe. It was a majority decision. One judge actually had it a draw with a 10-8 third round. I can see that argument, but I can't see the argument for giving her the first two rounds. Carlos Barza won those first two rounds. She used her wrestling and won, and Grasso didn't do anything those first two rounds. She just waited too long to do something in this fight. If it was a five-round fight, she probably would have won this fight, but it wasn't. It was three rounds, and Grasso did not do enough in the first two rounds to win those rounds. So Carlos Barza wins the fight. I don't see any controversy about this decision. In fact, I got to give the judges props here because I think they made a good call here by giving it to Esparza. She won the first two rounds with her wrestling, and it was a great win for Carlos Barza. People were doubting her once again. Everyone doubts her. She's looking really good lately. Back-to-back wins now. Yes, the Tatiana Suarez loss was brutal, but she beat Grasso, she beat Jan Roba, and arguably she beat Gadela, and she could be on a streak here where she's won five of her last six. So Carlos Barza is honestly one of the most underrated fighters in the women's division right now. Even though she's a former champion, she just never gets her fair shake. As for Grasso, I hate to say it, but she's kind of an overrated fighter at this point. Her record in the UFC is 3-3. Her wins are over Heather Jo Clark, who's no longer in the UFC, Randa Markos, who's a 500 fighter, and Karolina Kowalkiewicz. That was a great performance, obviously her coming out party, but that's a fighter on a losing streak right now. She's on a 3-fight losing streak. So Grasso has not lived up to the hype. I hate to say it. I think she still has potential. She's 26, but I'm waiting for her to take that next step, and I didn't see her. The third round, yes, she showed some good stuff in the third round, but she also showed some holes in her game. First off, the wrestling obviously is a huge issue. Her takedown defense in this fight was not good. Once again, just like the Tatiana Suarez fight where she got taken down and choked out, she didn't get finished here, which was good, and she did make a comeback in the third round. But here's the problem. She had Carlos Barza hurt, and you could hear her corner screaming through the TV to go after her and try to finish her, and she did not do it. And I didn't like that. It just showed a lack of killer instinct to me. She has not finished a fight in 5 years, since 2014. I like Alexa Grasso, but I think she's a little overrated. And I think a lot of fans, they think she's really cute and she's good looking. There's no doubt she's an attractive woman, and she's a great fighter at times, but not lately, and not in the UFC. And Invicta, she was awesome. In the UFC, she's been, I don't want to say she's been a bust as a prospect because she's still young, but she's been disappointing. People thought she was going to be a title contender right away. She's 3-3. She lost to Felice Herrig. She lost to Suarez. That's okay. She lost to Esparza. That's a fight a lot of people thought she'd win. Her wins, Heather Jo Clark again, not in the UFC. Randa Markos, 500 fighter. Karolina, someone on the decline. A decent win, though, for sure. I just think she's a little overrated, that's all. You know, I don't want to bash her because I think Grasso can have potential, and I think she could show it at some point, but she has a lot of holes with her wrestling. And I really did not like seeing her hurt Esparza and not finish her. She could have finished Carlos Esparza, and there would have been no controversy, and she chose to hang back and not do anything. Just like in the first two rounds where she chose not to do anything. She was very content with being taken down, going for submissions, low fight IQ in this fight. So, again, she's 26. She's still got potential, and I like her. She's got great striking. There's no doubt about it. But with that lack of wrestling, she'll never be a contender to this division. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. And this is why Esparza wins her fights, because she has so much experience and she knows when to get the takedowns, and she does that at the right time. So good for Esparza getting that win. Everyone counted her out. But it was disgusting hearing that she was showered with beer, considering she has Mexican blood in her especially. That's just crazy to me that that happened. So unfortunate incident for Carlos Esparza. The fight did win fight of the night. I personally don't agree with that, because I think the next fight I'm going to talk about should have won fight of the night. But it was a pretty good fight for that third round especially. The third round was a great round. But I think a lot of people are forgetting what happened the first two rounds, where Grasso got taken down and held to the ground by Esparza and lost the first two rounds. And I just don't really understand why there's any sort of controversy with this decision. It was a good decision by the judges. Esparza won this fight. Next up, flyweight bout. And to me, this was the best fight of the night. This was an incredible fight between Brandon Moreno and Askar Askarov. I love this fight. Ended in a split draw. So the judges had 28-28, 28-29 for Askarov, and 30-27 for Moreno. Crazy, crazy scoring, but a crazy fight, but back and forth fight. And really, I think a draw is not a terrible call here, because this was a really tough fight to score. Having said that, I did score the fight for Moreno, and I believe I gave him all three rounds, because he did knock down Askarov in the first two rounds. Now, Askarov had great momentum in the first two rounds, and he did some good things with the takedowns and everything, but those knockdowns, I think, outweigh the takedown. That's why I gave it to Moreno. But I don't think a draw is the worst thing in the world, because you can argue that Askarov won those first two rounds. They were very close, very technical fight, very hard to score. Draw's not the worst thing. I hope they run this fight back, because it was a great fight. And I really believe these guys should have won fight of the night. Brandon Moreno, man, this guy, I can't believe the UFC cut him last year. I'm glad he's back, though. He looked really good. He's actually 4-2-1 draw now in the UFC. So that's not a bad record. He could have won this fight. And then Askarov, obviously, he's not undefeated. He hasn't lost yet. He hasn't lost yet in his career. But he's still undefeated, but he does have a small blemish here with the draw. So that's okay. He's still, I think, 10-0-1. That's not a bad record. It's a great record. And I'd like to see them fight again, because this was a great fight. We didn't see a winner. So, again, tough fight to score. I think this one could have went either way. I don't think people could have freaked out regardless of who the fight was scored for. But I do think Moreno edged out. I just think, first off, he definitely won the third round. And I think he definitely won at least one of the first two rounds. That's why I would have given it to Moreno. But, again, you could definitely argue 10-8 in the third round. And you could argue 10, I think, for Askarov in the first round. So, to me, a very, very close fight to score. I want to see what MMA decision has for that right now. Actually, let me check the Esparza one out first. Yeah, I'm looking at the Esparza MMA decisions right now. Almost every Almost every judge in the media had it for Esparza, which I agree with. Some had it a draw, some had it for Grasso. Yeah, I think most had it right with Esparza winning. Now, the Moreno Askarov fight, let me see what the media said here. Yeah, almost every media member had it for Moreno, which I agree with again, but I do think this was a closer fight than maybe the scores indicate. It's one of those like fights where you could score 30-27, but the rounds were very close. So either way, draw, I don't think is the worst thing, but it's crazy how we never get draws, and then like two of the last three cards we've had split draws with the Zubair Tukukov and the Leron Murphy fight, and now this Moreno Askarov fight. That's crazy. So in some ways, it's good because I think a lot of people want to see judges give out more split, draws, because a lot of fights are close and judges like when there's draws, or fans like when there's draws. But at the same time, I'd rather see someone get the win or loss personally, because I think with the 10-9 must system especially, it'd be nice to score around 10-9. But in this case, there was a 10-8 round possibly, so I can see why there was a split draw. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but it'd be nice to see someone get the win bonus. That's the one problem with giving out draws. No one gets the win bonus. UFC keeps that money. So I don't like that. But again, it was a close fight. It could have went either way. I lean towards Moreno, but either way, amazing fight. I think fight of the night. I think they should run it back because it was such a good fight and we don't have a winner. Next up, catchweight bout, Irene Aldana defeats Vanessa Mello. First off, the weigh-ins. Vanessa Mello missed weight. She came in at 140 and she looked absolutely awful at the weigh-ins. She looked like she was going to faint. And in the fight, she just didn't do anything. She got picked apart. She walked forward the whole fight, which was good to see, but Aldana's counter-striking was excellent in this fight. She looked really good. But this was a fight where she was a massive favorite. She obviously should have won this fight. And she did in convincing fashion, 30-26 across the board. So good performance by Aldana. Bounced back from that Pennington loss by split decision. And for Mello, disappointing debut, but she'll be back. And I think, you know, hopefully with a full camp, she'll be able to make weight for her next fight. But yes, she looked absolutely terrible at the weigh-ins. And I'm a little surprised this fight went on because she looked really bad. Next up, a really good featherweight bout here between Steven Peterson and Martin Brown, with Steven Peterson wins by spinning back fist second round. One of the best knockouts of the year. Incredible knockout by Steven Peterson. He absolutely needed this to really save his career in the UFC because he's been so inconsistent. Now he's 2-3 in the UFC. Had he lost, he would have been 1-4. So he needed this win. He got it. So good for him with Steven Peterson getting a huge knockout win over Martin Bravo. Martin Bravo looked really good in the first round. He looked like he was picking apart Peterson. Peterson looked awful in the first round. Looked like he had a terrible weight cut. The commentator said that. He looked like a zombie around the cage and somehow got a second wind and looked absolutely amazing in the second round, getting that spinning back fist. So great fight. Steven Peterson wins $50,000. Well-deserved. Great fight. Preliminary card. Let's go through quickly. Jose Alberto Quinones defeats Carlo Hoshin via unanimous decision. And no, I talked about this with Cole Sheldon. This guy, I can't believe he's only minus 150. I really believe if you look at every fight in the card, he had the best value of anyone in the card. So shockingly, people were betting on Hoshin. I don't know why. This guy has lost two fights in the UFC, to Jaione Barcelos, and now Jose Quinones. I don't think he's won one round in two fights. So that's not good. I doubt he gets another fight in the UFC. Maybe he gets one if they go back to like South America where he's from. But yeah, he probably gets released. Kyle Nelson defeats Marco Polo Reyes, first round knockout. Great performance here by Kyle Nelson. For my money, he should have won performance of the night, saving his UFC career with an incredible knockout over Polo Reyes. Now for Polo Reyes, he is now 4-4 in the UFC. Three knockout wins, but four knockout losses. And he's five knockout losses in his career in 15 fights. So that's not good. His chin is just, it's not good. And he's been knocked out in three straight fights and four of his last five. That's terrible. And he obviously is going to be released from this from his UFC deal. He puts on good fights, but when you get knocked out in three straight fights and four of your last five, you're going to get released. So unfortunately, that's probably it for Polo Reyes in the UFC. But for Kyle Nelson, saves his career 1-2 down the UFC. Next up, Angela Hill puts on a really good performance here against Ariane Carnelosi. I always fade Angela Hill. I didn't think she'd win this fight, but she looked pretty good and gets a third-round doctor stoppage. Some controversy. Some people don't think that the cut was bad enough that the doctor should have stopped it. But either way, Hill gets the win. She's won two of her last three fights. And for Carnelosi, loses her UFC debut. Next up, Sergio Pettis defeats Tyson Namby unanimous decision, 30-27. Great performance by Pettis. This guy is obviously one of the top contenders at 125. He has that win over Benavidez from last year. He looks really good at 125. The move to 135 in his last fight against Rob Font didn't work out too well for him, but he's looked really good at 125. It'd be nice to see him get a finish, though. He has not finished a fight since 2013 when he got a submission on the regional scene in the fight before his UFC debut. So he's got to finish fights, and until he finishes a fight, he will never sniff a title shot. I think they need him to finish the fight, but the guy wins, and he's got a good record in the UFC. But for, I think I'm very disappointed with Tyson Nam. I got to say that. I think this guy should have been in the UFC a long time ago. He's been around forever. I've seen him fight for years. And he's a talented guy. But, man, you got your shot in the UFC and you didn't really do anything. you get your shot in the UFC, you got to go for broke. And it would be nice to see him go for the knockout and just go for broke and just throw balls to the wall. And he didn't do that. So unfortunate that Tyson Nam waited this long and it puts up kind of a stinker. But at the same time, Pettis had a great performance. Next up, Paul Craig defeats Vinicius Pereira via first round submission. Paul Craig wins another performance of the night. What a funny career he's had. He's 4-4 now in the UFC. His four wins are by submission, and he's won performance of the night in all four of them. And then the four losses are by stoppage. So he's either a guy knocked you out, or sorry, if he submits you, or he gets knocked out. In this fight, he defeats Vinicius Pereira. Vinicius Pereira, 0-3 now in the UFC, three first round stoppage losses. This guy is going to be cut. He has not looked good in the UFC. But for Paul Craig, obviously saves his job. I think that was his last fight in his deal. He'll save his job with that. Next up, women's bantamweight bout between Betts Correa and Sahara Eubanks. Correa wins a unanimous decision, 29-28. Good call by the judges here. She won the fight. I'm surprised by it. This is the one fight that did surprise me on the card. I think some of the other ones could have won either way, but this one, I thought for sure Eubanks would have won. I thought better striker, better wrestler. Correa looked good. And Eubanks only has a 4-4 record now in her career. So that's pretty weak. Correa gets the win here, saves her job in the UFC. She's 11-4-1 now in her career. It was a good performance by Betts. I know a lot of people don't like her, but man, she actually looked pretty good in this fight. Next up, and the last fight in the card I want to talk about here quickly, Claudio Puelles defeats Marcos Mariano via unanimous decision, 30-25 across the board. Why is Marcos Mariano in the UFC? Again, we know he's Anderson Silva's buddy. He looks like him. He's his doppelganger, but man, two fights now against Venata and Puelles, and he's did absolutely nothing in this fight. So that's it. There's no way he's going to get another shot in the UFC. Overall, this card, very, very strange. Maybe I give it like a 6 or 7 out of 10, maybe. That's even being generous. Maybe, like, yeah, probably 6, 6.5. It was a very weird card. There's some good stoppages, a couple good fights, but too much weirdness on this card for me to really, really love it. I think a lot of people feel the same way about it. All right, a couple pieces of news here and a fight announcement. I'll get out of here. Tony Ferguson, let's talk about him quickly. He wants to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov at UFC 245. He called him out for that card. I hope they book it for that card because they just added Holloway versus Volkanovski, which I'll get to in 1 second here. But yeah, I do think they should add the Ferguson-Khabib fight if Khabib wants to fight, obviously, that soon after the last fight against Poirier was just a few weeks ago. But I think he should be able to go because he didn't take much damage in the Poirier fight. Dana White had a couple things to say here. He said that The Rock will present the BMF belt at UFC 244. He said that he designed it himself and it cost $50,000, which obviously is chump change to the UFC, but that's pretty cool. The Rock's going to present it to the winner of Masvidal and Diaz. And it's kind of cool with the BMF belt. You know, a lot of people don't like it, but I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of weird. Like, it's kind of crazy, right? The UFC never does stuff like this, but I think this is kind of cool. Also, Dana White, he did an interview with Barstool Sports. It was a decent interview, actually. He talked about a lot of things, just gave some answers. Like, he talked about his favorite fight, and he's kind of like me. He said Shogun and Henderson was one up there, which I think is one of the best fights ever. He didn't mention Jones and Gustafson, which I was surprised by, but that obviously is up there as well. But that was kind of a good interview. And then one thing he did talk about, which is hilarious, he talked about Tito Ortiz and the rumored boxing match from, like, years ago, and he said he would have beat the crap out of Tito Ortiz. He said if Tito fought him in MMA, Tito would have, like, basically murdered him. But he said if they fought in boxing, Dana said he would have beat up Tito, and that's why the fight never happened. Hilarious, right? Like, come on. I know Dana trained boxing. I know that he obviously was a boxing trainer, like, a long time ago, but Tito, and I know Tito's hands aren't great, but still, like, Tito Ortiz is a professional fighter. Dana White's nothing close to that. So pretty funny stuff, but at least it makes for a good headline. And like I said, I want to talk about this fight announcement, Max Holloway versus Volkanovski at UFC 245. Great fight. And now UFC 245 has two title fights, Jermaine Duranibi versus Amanda Nunes rematch and Holloway versus Volkanovski. This fight's amazing. Both guys on nice win streaks at featherweight. Obviously, Holloway at the loss to Poirier at lightweight, but at featherweight, he's, I think, on a 12-fight win streak. And Volkanovski's actually won 17 straight fights, including 7 straight in the UFC, back-to-back wins over Chan Mendes and Jose Aldo. Incredible fight. I think you have to lean towards Max. At featherweight, he's looked unstoppable. But, man, you can't count on Volkanovski. This guy has looked incredible in the UFC. And he's got great wrestling. He's got good striking. He's just a really good fighter, very aggressive. And I really enjoy watching him fight. So this guy deserved the title shot. I'm glad he's going to get it. And this should be an amazing fight. So UFC 245 is starting to look really good. I keep talking about this card. I think it's going to be an amazing card. And it'd be sweet if they added Ferguson versus Tony Khabib or – I don't know, John Jones or someone, or even the Stipe versus DC trilogy. Maybe they could add that to the card. Either way, UFC 245 is looking really good with a couple title fights. So I think that's all I want to talk about today, guys. Like I said, UFC Mexico City, kind of a weird card, but definitely a lot of talking points at least coming out of it. And that's about it. So you guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends about it. You guys can check me out at, like I said, Twitter, BJ Penn, and MMARings.net. Guys, once again, thanks for joining me for this podcast. I'll be back tomorrow morning breaking down whatever news happens today and tomorrow morning in the world of MMA. And then myself and Cole Sheldon will be back tomorrow morning at about 11 o'clock doing a preview for the UFC Copenhagen card, which actually takes place this Saturday, as well as the Bellator card. There's two Bellator cards this weekend, so we'll be previewing those cards as well. Should be a good show. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in today for the podcast. I appreciate it, and I'll be back tomorrow morning. Have a good one.